So from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since we are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. It has become hip to be thankful. You hear about it in social media. Mark Zuckerberg, or if I'm saying his name correctly, the founder of Facebook, made a New Year's resolution this year that every day of the new year, he would write one handwritten thank you note. It's long been studied in the medical profession that those who practice gratitude actually find their health restored more quickly than those who have a negative outlook. And in the business world, Jim Collins, professor at Stanford University and great researcher of companies that move from good to great, said that one attribute he noticed in the thousands of excellent CEO leaders and companies that transitioned to greatness were that they practiced gratitude and thanksgiving at the top. A gift of humility, a commitment to be thankful for the blessing around us. It is indeed hip to be thankful. But just because it's popular in our days and times doesn't mean that it's always easy to achieve, right? I think of the story that I heard of a man who was walking along a beach, and he kicked his foot across the sand a little more aggressively in one spot, and up from the sand came this little lamp that he took the lid off, and out came a genie. And the genie was so thankful and grateful to be delivered. He said, "I'm so grateful, I'm going to give you one wish that I'll answer." And the man thought for a minute and he said, "You know, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I get seasick and I can't ride on one of those ocean going vessels. And not only did I get seasick, but I'm also afraid of flying, so I've never been able to go. Genie, what I would like you to do is build me my own personal bridge all the way to Hawaii so I could drive over there and see the beauty." And the genie said, "Well, you know, that's kind of a self-serving request. And that's going to take a lot of my power and energy and my time. Do you know how deep down in the ocean those piers and those piling are going to be driven? How much money that's going to cost? How involved that is?" He said, "Now, I will do this if you want me to, but I'd really rather not. Have you got something a little simpler that we could ask for? To that, the man said, well, you know, my wife has not been happy for years. She grumbles a lot. She's not grateful, it seems like, for anything I do for her. She's always looking at the negative side of everything. She's just not happy. Could you help her to be more happy? And to that, the genie said, well, now that's an interesting request. So how many lanes would you want that bridge to be anyway? It's not easy to transition to being a person of gratitude. Even though we see the benefits. We see the importance of thanksgiving. It's often easy to overlook what we have to be thankful for. My friend Nick Phillips, some of you may have seen his article yesterday in the Daily Journal. Nick, one of our great pastors that serves in leadership at New Hope Presbyterian Church, practices law in Iuka, wrote an article on Thanksgiving yesterday in the Daily Journal. And Nick said, if we'll pause long enough, even those of us who have a hard time being thankful, and just consider the fact that if we're reading this newspaper article, then we're one of those who at least can read, while there are some 775,000 people in our nation alone who are illiterate. And Nick said, if we had breakfast this morning, if we enjoy the Thanksgiving meals that we'll be graced with and we shared in our fellowship community this last Wednesday, he said, we have something to be thankful for, because more than 25,000 people die each day of starvation in our world. His encouragement was to open our eyes, even in the midst of the perils, the challenges, the brokenness of life, to consider the bounty of blessings that are there for us as children of grace. You know, the Apostle Paul, one of the great leaders of faith, even beyond, I would say, Christian faith, one of the great leaders of faith throughout the history of creation, one of his central attributes, I'm convinced, was that Paul was a person of thanksgiving. He embraced throughout his life and ministry, indeed, an attitude of gratitude. Many of us are familiar with his letter to the church in Philippi, where Paul began those words with this. He said, I thank my God every time I think of you. And every time I pray with joy. He ended that text by saying these words that are famous and familiar to many of us, where he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And as you give thanks, the peace of our Lord will embrace you all. You see what I think Paul is saying to us? Not only is he giving us in his life a model of a person who is a person of gratitude, but Paul, I think, is showing us how to be thankful. Write this down on your heart, church people. As you are sitting here today, maybe searching for a little more happiness and peace and joy in your life, may we learn from the Apostle Paul. Here it is. The secret to more joy and peace is to have more thanksgiving and gratitude for God's blessings. The more we count our blessings, as the old church hymnal says, the more we will see and know the joy of our Lord in our life. You see, that's the gift of this holy season, is to be thankful for what God has done. Not only was Paul thankful for the people of Philippi, but most of all, Paul the apostle was thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those are the words he wrote to Timothy, his child in the faith. In that letter to Timothy, he said, I am thankful to Christ Jesus. In the fact that even though I was once a persecutor of the church, I was violent. And the chief of all sinners, Christ came into the world to save sinners guilty like me. You see, our text today talks to us about criminals stationed beside our Lord Jesus. Those who found themselves guilty for their decisions, for their destruction upon the world God had created, whether it been vile treatment of their neighbor or perhaps even their family, they were sentenced to crucifixion. And the one who said, Jesus, remember me, knew his guilt. He knew his brokenness was brought upon himself. And even at the depths of his sorrow, he simply said, Lord Jesus, will you remember me? And he was delivered from his guilt, from his sin, into life, love, and joy forever. You know, I'm grateful for this passage of Scripture that says to us there are many ways, dear church, to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But there's only one way to come to God, and that's through the grace of our Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven that we may have his love eternally. And that the guilt that was placed upon these criminals at the crucifixion, our guilt, Christ came to us at our worst, at our brokenness. When we, like the Apostle Paul, found ourselves at our very worst, Christ Jesus was at his very best, so that we may have his love, his forgiveness, and life eternal through his grace. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we celebrate the sacrifice of your reign. And as we bow in this holy setting this day, we celebrate the conversion of the thief on the cross. That reminds us that our salvation is not anything about what we do, but what you have done for us. We simply cry out, even as we sit in this sanctuary today, for your grace, for the first time, or for the first time in a long time. And we know that our trust in you, our hope for you as our Savior, restores us now and forever. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Friends,